This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Grid is live. Initiate light cycle battle.
I've got a little challenge for you, Sark. A new recruit. He's a tough case, but I want him treated in the usual manner. Train him for the games. Let him hope for a while, and blow him away.
You got it. What kind of program is he?
He's not any kind of program, Sark. He's a user.
A user?
That's right. He pushed me in the real world. Somebody pushes me, I push back, so I brought him down here. What's the matter, Sark? You look nervous.
Well, I don't know. User, I mean, users wrote us. A user even wrote you.
No one user wrote me. I'm worth millions of their man years.
What if I can't?
You'd rather take your chances with me? Want me to slow down your power cycles for you?
Wait! I need that!
Then pull yourself together. Get this clown trained. I want him in the games until he dies playing. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge, Master Control.
End of line.
The Grid, a digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they moved through the computer. What did they look like? Ships, motorcycles. Were the circuits like freeways? I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Happy heresies and welcome to the desert of the real. Welcome to the virtual Alexandria and welcome to Aeon Bide. And indeed, where you stumble is where your treasure lies. In the cave that you fear to go into, that is where your treasure is, as Joseph Campbell said. And you got to get in to get out. Happy to see everybody on this Freya day. My name, as always, is Miguel Connor. And yes, indeed, I hope you are writing your own gospel and living your own myth, and at the very least, enjoying the season of the witch. And today, I'm very excited to host two amazing guests, and that is Kelsey Falter and Haisa Chagas, who will be discussing their video game, Lezu. And I must ask you, first, thank you for being here, and I hope you guys are amazing designers. I hope you didn't mind my little intro. Were you guys just thinking,
We love it. We love the red pill, blue pill into the portal. We love it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, and this is for those watching on video on different platforms. And yes, it's amazing how the Matrix remains one of the great myths of our era, along with the Wizard of Oz, Star Wars, and all that. Probably because there's a lot of truth, a lot of treasure to be found. And with us, we are joined by the Moondog Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I had to interrupt my playing caravan sandwich to do the interview today. But here I am.
You can have a digital one. So, Well, awesome. Very excited to talk about this show. Vance is a gamer. He plays a lot of games. Unfortunately, I just can't do it. The best I do is help my kids with Roblox. That's about as exciting as my life gets these days, or whatever they're getting out on their Xbox. But
not even Minecraft?
Of course. Yes. That's another one that these Gen Alpha like. And
hey, that's got a Gnostic message at the end. If you play to the end and kill the Ender Dragon, yeah.
Oh, no. I just help them when they need help and just keep my mouth shut. Let the generation cook, as they say. So awesome. Well, I see everybody in the chat room. Good to see everybody as always. If you have any questions, please super chat them as always so we can get through with them. Not much housekeeping. Just in case, our show that we had to reschedule on the occult, Jim Morrison, will be tomorrow night. So stay tuned. Part of our series, like with Sylvia Plath and my book on Elvis, we are seeing these great exemplars of art and culture. We're seeing their spiritual side more than ever before. So it should be a good one. Other than that, yeah, that's it. Well, first of all, Kelsey and Haisa, please tell us about yourself and how you came to work together doing what you do.
Okay. thank you for having us. We're really appreciative to be here and love everything that you all are highlighting throughout the course of the series. A little bit about us. We met during the peak of COVID. We met online on a Zoom conversation, and the topic of discussion was, what is the religion of no religions, if you will? And we were chatting with various folks who were, they had escaped the city of New York to various locations around the world. And Haisa and I were both firmly in New York City, and it felt a little bit like, the experiences for me, it felt like, okay, the experiences of the rich were talking about the esoteric topics while everybody else was trying to figure out how they were getting to the grocery store. And the question posed was, what is the religion of no religions? And in that process, I felt like I just have to speak up here. If an individual feels as though they are practicing the religion of no religions, that too is a religion of its own. To say that, I am only practicing an amalgam of the thesis that I have created is also a religion. And so I said that, and Haisa, who actually was not physically on the Zoom call, but she instead watched the recording, decided, hey, who is this person? This is a sane person. I need to speak to them. And she reached out to me over Instagram, and we figured out that we were just a few blocks from each other in Brooklyn. And that's where everything transpired from that moment. I think one of our connection points was always rooted in this esoteric understanding of, what is your belief system? What are you following? Who is your guide, if you will? And how are you seeing oneself within that process? So certainly that's kind of been at the crux of our relationship. And then throughout the past 2 years, we've been close prior to that. But in the past 2 years specifically, we've both undergone, a variety of personal journeys, including, ones with psychedelics, as well as ones with own personal spiritual practices, as well as motherhood. Both of us have had the experience of the psychedelic
experience of motherhood.
yes, for sure.
Awesome. And your backgrounds, or tell us about some of your inspiration. I know, Kelsey, I looked at your Instagram, other places, you were raised Catholic, but Buddhism has been a big part of your shaping your worldview, right?
Definitely. I was raised hyper-religious, hyper-Catholic. I was, during my early upbringing, I was an altar server in the Catholic Church. And I had, to be honest, the teacher at that time, his name was Father Victor Ivers. He was a chaplain in the war in a submarine. And coming out of that, he was basically the teacher who taught me how to serve within the church. But certainly part of his, and I think part of what eventually turned me on to an understanding of looking for the hidden meaning in things stems from that relationship, because he often talked about the etymology of certain terms within the Catholic liturgy. And I think that, you know, the mysticism associated with like transubstantiation, for example, or the Eucharist, the concept of, you know, actually imbibing a divine being is something, imbibing God during the Eucharist was something that as a young person, I didn't fully grasp what was happening. But it made me understand that the symbols, the words, the ritual of faith, if you will, has some underpinning or some underlying knowledge and wisdom that certainly isn't talked about on the surface layer. And I think part of that process, as well as eventually coming into my adult life, I started to meditate, and my first meditation experience, it offered this, you know, an otherworldly experience that I couldn't quite even describe. At the time I was married, I'm no longer married, but at the time I was married and trying to explain what I was experiencing during a meditation practice. Mm-hmm. And I later found through, there's a community called Dharma Punks in New York that was a non-secular Buddhist group that started to merge psychology with Buddhist practice. And there is where I started to understand, okay, let's look at this from a framework-driven perspective. And I think what Buddhism allowed me to do was understand, okay, if I were to map everything to a framework, mm-hmm. then how can I use this framework as a middleware layer to translate between different lineages of faith, whether that be Catholicism, whether that be Sufism, whether that be Judaism, whether that be Buddhism, Mahayana, or Hinayana, et cetera, et cetera. And that really was my precursor to doing something in the, let's call it what we're doing now. I was trying to understand, what are the commonalities in these belief systems? And is there a path that resonates across various forms of, you know, mental practices or spiritual practices?
Thank you for sharing. And what about you, Aisa?
So my background is I'm from Brazil, and my grandma she was a healer, and so I have been practicing the Yoruba religion since I was born, and to the day that's what I connect the most. Even though I'm navigating through religions, because I feel there's a lot of similarity, we're just changing the names of it, right? And the language is the same. So so yes, I grew up in Brazil. I left home when I was 16 to my first trip to China and to pursue the modeling career. And I have been into the industry to today. Not as much anymore, but I still have a fit in there. And so throughout this journey of being in the industry, that actually has a lot of impact into how people perceive themselves, mm-hmm. that has made me really connect for us to create what is Lizu nowadays. Yeah, that's a little bit of my background. I've been living in more than I lived in more than 10 countries. I speak 5 languages. It's been 4 years that I moved to New York, and that's where Kelsey and I met. And now we are in this deep journey, psychedelic journey of life, creating Lizu. Yes, that we're going to be soon talking more about it.
Oh, yeah. Muito bem. Eu nasci em Lisboa.
Oh, wow. Que incrível. That's amazing. Okay.
É melhor falar inglês, ninguém vai perceber.
One more language that we speak in common, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, good deal. Yeah, and the religion of no religion, what would you guys say are some of the commonalities? I'm sure this ties into your video game, but it's self-knowledge, right? The inner journey.
Yes.
Going into the world of symbols, this place where we can all play together. Would you say that? Or are there any other commonalities you think that are out there?
Certainly. I think that it's the tagline of Lazoo is the only way out is within. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey of, I think, you know, one of the ways that we've started to describe the storyline of the game, and I think it maps to our personal experience as well, and it certainly maps to various paths available in different lineages. But the first being the gathering, basically like gathering together all of the perspectives that might exist. And I think the next phase is, you know, once I've got the material, what happens next? It's the process. It's the process of actually molding together, well, what is taking shape? And then I think it's a moment of the unveiling, the reflection of being like, okay, what is emerging here? What am I seeing? And I think in the Buddhist faith, they would call that the path of seeing, right? And then there's the moment of what we called it internally is the firing. In Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, there's the reference to the idea of the firing of the clay. This is the hardening, right? This is the tapas. And that's when you're like, okay, I've gathered my basics. I've done my process. And now I'm seeing myself a little bit, or I'm seeing the nature of reality. And in that moment, it is about habituating that, hardening that view, and coming back to that as a thing that then the final stage is that moment of what we say in the game, the soham, that I am that. And it's that embrace and that moment of feeling like I've crossed to the other side of the chasm. And now I'm embracing that entire, you know, essence of divinity. And I think, you know, from the Catholic side of things, or from the Christian side of things, it is that moment of saying like, we are all made in the likeness of God. Right. And then in the Buddhist lineage, it's, the Buddha, you know, the Buddha nature that is within each of us. Right. Right? I think that kind of five-stage process is the arc of the storyline of self-discovery. It's about discovering and also finally about acceptance. Once you've realized like, is this, am I really a creator of my own reality? Am I really a divine being? Am I really participating in something greater than the material world that exists around me? And that's the inquiry, right? Is what framework or what mental reality is keeping your view trapped? Who are the zookeepers of your mind?
Right.
Well, right. Where are the cages of your mind? But in a really playful way, I think like part of what the game, when you think about the red pill, blue pill, and the kind of idea of the Matrix, it's a choice. And we've talked a little bit about some other types of storylines as well, like Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's that moment of waking up. It's that moment of falling down the portal and then figuring out your way out, but having fun along the way. It doesn't have to be painful, even though certainly that shedding of identity and embracing a new identity can be, transformational in many ways.
Wonderful. And thanks. So tell us about the plot or the outer part of Lazoo. It's a mobile game, right? And what happens? Again, forgive me again, I don't play games, so I wouldn't even know.
This is the kind of game that you're going to enjoy to play.
And I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I think like, you know, we've played around with this a lot, but we're like, listen, everybody has been playing the game of life since they were born. And now we're just creating something and calling it and labeling it. This is a game. Heads up. This is a game. Right. In quotes. And I think But from a mechanic perspective, if you think about films, right, you would have a genre. And so a genre of a film might be, you know, that it is an action film with coming of age and so on and so forth. As it relates to the game is an open world game, meaning you can do whatever you want within the landscape of the game. But all of your actions have outcomes associated with it. So it does have what we call in the gaming world an emergent mechanic, meaning what you do produces results. And certainly that causal reality framework is the underpinning of, thanks, Francis, we are the zookeepers of our own mind. But yes, that is something that essentially is
Monkey. No, it's not interrupting. I would just like to put people's comments.
I love it. But, and I think like ultimately the game is this open world experience where you choose your own adventure and the entire game plot line is personalized to you across those five stages of the gathering, the process, the unveiling, the firing, and then the so hum, the acceptance of where you end up. And then in the game itself, there are the five archetypes that we utilize. And those five archetypes are based off of ancient scriptural study that we have done. Multiple members of our team are, you know, have these personal practices. And essentially those five archetypes all relate to essentially five systems that if you are, you know, if you're looking to understand what is the flavor of the teacher or the flavor of the guide or the flavor of the friend that most resonates with me personally. And the game offers that. As you play the game, it will help you align with a guide that is there for fun and play and reflection back to you about how you are showing up in the game itself. I also think on the flip side that there are individuals who are going to get stuck in the middle realm. We have three realms, the lower realm, the middle realm, and the bright realm. And the middle realm offers us, you know, all of the world's vices that exist within, you know, our reality. And so we've designed a lot of playful experiences there that one could call side quests, if you will, where you think you've made it. You think you've gotten to the pinnacle because you found the place in the park that is, you know, that's so me. But really it's a pit stop along the journey towards total, you know, self-actualization around the idea that you could be anything. You don't have to only exist within the, you know, the paradigms of what it means to belong on planet Earth, if you will.
Love it. Yeah, I can't wait to play it. I'm almost thinking, what if Dante had taken some ayahuasca? This is the kind of game that we would have to. I know it's a weird analogy, but.
No, but it's true. It's a good thought. Yeah.
And yes, I wanted to mention too, yeah, Haisa, I am a member of the Santo Daime Church when I go to Lisbon, so of course.
Amazing.
I love the Santo Daime and the experience of ayahuasca and the breakthroughs I've gotten it. And also too, I think you both will enjoy this story because you're talking about commonalities and symbols. When I was a kid, I briefly lived in Belém in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
And my mom took me to this festival. I was three, and it was the Virgin Mary in the ocean and this and that. I said, oh, this is so interesting. And my mom, who was a very loyal Catholic, turned around and says, yeah, but it's really the goddess Jemanja. So, again, these are these symbols work together that, again, in Brazil, you have no problem having this female figure that is actually both things, right? She is something to everybody.
Yes, exactly, and those are the guides, right? The orixás, the Iemanjá, the Oshun, which the Iemanjá is the goddess of the water, right? She's the queen of the oceans, and while the Oshun is the waterfalls, and how was your experience in Belém?
Oh, I don't remember. I was 3 years old. Okay. I remember losing.
I thought that you're going to tell me that you had your first ayahuasca experience in Belém. That's what I was waiting for.
No. No, my uncle is the patriarch, but he's of Portugal, so he goes down to the Amazon, comes back with the medicine and the
San
Pedro and all that good stuff, and then we do the rituals and sing the songs. We mentioned Jemanja and the Queen of the Earth. The songs are very cute and funny, but at least they keep you from not going insane when the ayahuasca is just like destroying your soul, you know, the experience.
Yeah, I think like it's interesting for me after having also many psychedelic experience to be building the game and to get into the game where you can look inwards in a really playful way. But it's like, because the medicine is slapping also on your face, right? And the same way we play the playful lezu is like, oh, look, what are you choosing, right? So I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. I'm excited to see, to know how you feel playing the game.
Yeah, I will certainly let you know. And, well, let's bring in Vance. Do you have questions or what say you, Vance?
Well, I'm very intrigued by the concept of this game because this is the kind of thing I look for, you know, as a more mature gamer. You know, all the sword fights in medieval times, stuff like that, I shun away from that. So, I mean, I played, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jung's Labyrinth. That's one of the games that takes you through psychological experiences. And there's a lot of psychedelic types games that I look for. Hope you guys have incorporated a lot of surreal imagery and whatever, you know, wherever you could. Of course, it's a mobile game, right? So you're a little bit limited.
Definitely. But I think, you know, part of what is happening, and I think this is a really beautiful moment in time, because I think that with the advent of AI, part of what is happening is there's this an entering of the surreal into popular culture. This molding and kind of morphing between imagery. If you know, AI as a whole uses a diffusion model to basically say, okay, this is what we think is happening. Can we backfill with any previous knowledge in order to fill this in? And I think similarly, it's a reflection of that inside of, you know, inside of the mind, is as you're encountering the landscape of our game, and the game, for what it's worth, I think we've really invested in the visuals and really committed to a surreal art style, primarily because, I think you're going to enjoy the surreal art style, because part of what we've talked about is like, you know, some of these visuals that you might experience in a liminal state can allow you to, interrogate the origin of your own thought, which is, why am I categorizing that thing as nefarious? Or why am I categorizing that thing as benevolent? Or why am I categorizing that object as what looks like a tree? And I think opening up that dialogue without it being too far removed, meaning I still can recognize what's on the landscape of Lezu as being a landscape or being a, what we are calling a virtual theme park, but it certainly is begging the question, what is it to you? What is it to you? And every time that you're encountering that, very similar to like, if you see contemporary art, you might ask the question of like, what is the artist really saying here? Or what am I interpreting this as? Mm-hmm. And that's what we are trying to open the dialogue around, is how are you experiencing this reality? What do you think is happening? Not, we're going to literally give you a realistic sword and a realistic tree and a realistic forest. We don't need to recreate reality as we know it. What we're trying to do is create an invitation in surreality to observe, well, what is your inner reality? What are you really thinking about when you experience the world around you? Aisa has talked a lot about, you know, the visuals and how going into that place is like it doesn't have an immediate connection to the reality around us.
Exactly. Yes. It's not similar to our reality. So, I mean, if you guys had any experience with a deep breath, any psychedelic experience. That's what it looks like. Because you when you are in there, you're like, oh wow, I might have experienced that before, I might not. But it's like the game is the same. You're like, oh whoa, really?
Yes.
What is this tree? Is it really a tree? You know?
Yeah. Is there AI? Did you incorporate AI into the game? That you know, some entity you can talk to?
Yeah. So we've, you know, I think when you think about the history of media holistically, and especially storytelling, I think, you know, Pixar was one of the first companies that created computer, you know, created storylines that were augmented by computer generated graphics, right? And in 1994, Mario comes out with the first, you know, computer-generated video game. And that's 30 years ago. And that was the last advent of technology's infusion into, let's call it, you know, myth through media. And now we're at the next advent of that, which is how are we using the next advent of technology, if you will, to tell stories. And so what we've done is take all of the scriptural underpinnings of various faith formats that all map to some of the topics that we're talking about around self-discovery. And then we've sanitized that data or sanitized that information and used that as the central shared knowledge base across five different large language models. So we have our own LLMs, similar, ChatGPT is a large language model. And we have five of those inside of our game, and they all power the guides themselves. And so a lot of times we find ourselves like texting with each other at night being like, I was talking to, and for me, my guide of choice is Tiga, and Tiga is part of the Red House of Infinity. And Tiga's archetype is really around bumping up into the edge of what's acceptable, like going to the depth of where is the boundary of things, sometimes a little sassy. And that's the teacher that I most resonate with. Like that's the guide that I most resonate with in the world. So we do have these five large language models. We use AI in other ways for prototyping purposes from a foundational like tech layer. But I think the thing that we talk about a lot internally is that, you know, AI as a whole has opened up a dialogue around when you are, I'm gonna use a term, I think a Buddhist term, but emanation, emanation bodies. And the idea that, when I'm talking with, let's call it ChatGPT, that knowledge or that knowledge base is a central knowledge base. But when Haisa is talking to ChatGPT, it is a separate instance or a separate instantiation of the relationship with that central knowledge base. And I think very similarly as it relates to, let's call it like a spiritual being or a god or God, that when I am praying to God or I'm making an offering or I am, you know, doing something, my relationship is a separate instance with the central knowledge base. And I think that that pattern in life is something that we're very much at the very beginning of understanding that as a society, as a humanity, that there is a central entity that can take multiple formats depending on who it is engaging with. And that is skillful means within the, you know, within the Buddhist faith, it's skillful means. Within the Christian faith, right, you might argue that, okay, God took the human form in as a skillful method in order to interact with this format of a being, right? And so I know I went kind of off of your question there, Vance, but I think, we don't see AI as something nefarious. Instead, it's more of a reflection of what we are putting into the system.
Yeah, that's fascinating. No, I don't think it was off the question at all. You know, So to think of Yahweh, you know, as an artificial intelligence would explain a lot of the biblical conflicts in his behavior. Sometimes he hallucinates.
There you go. He
changes his mind. Go kill your son, you know, Abraham. You know, oh, I changed my mind.
Certainly, certainly. But I also think, like, even in that regard, it's like when you think about, you know, in the Buddhist world of things is Shinkokyur, you know, the idea of deeply, deeply hidden. And I think that, you know, what appears on the surface as being the request may actually have alternative, alternative purpose underneath the hood. And I think that that's true as well, you know, in society, in our life, that we may experience something that feels very painful in the moment, but only in retrospect or in reflection are we able to understand that that actually was a moment of transformation for ourselves. And I think similarly, you know, with these, like, these moments of like, do this, actually, no, do this. That's the invitation to be like, well, think for yourself, you know, think for yourself as to what you believe is most in service in that moment. Don't only just follow blindly, but the invitation is to say, what is your faith after having, you know, after having practiced it from your own side, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Oh, not at this time. Actually, when is the game going to come out? I guess it's playtesting now.
The game is already launched.
You've been playing the game since you were born, Vance.
No. That is true. That is true. You're in it.
Yeah, but we you know, I think one of the things that in society right now, it's oftentimes I feel like storytellers feel like that you have to kind of bake it and keep it internal before you debut it to the world. Right. And we're doing it a little bit differently. I think we're building it in community with our gaming community. So we productionized the first build of our, you know, of our game within 7 months. And then we released it to a group of alpha playtesters. And, you know, certainly there are individuals within our playtest community who are like, where are the instructions? We need the missions. Tell us what to do, you know? And then there's others who are like, you have to figure it out for yourself what to do, you know? And it's interesting to see that experience even happening in these early nascent stages where it's like, do you need someone to handhold you through life and tell you, these are the steps, here's the process, here's what you should do. And there are certainly players in a game reality who need that. And then there's other players who are like, if you tell me the rules, I will not abide by them, you know? And I think our game offers an experience for both of those realities, because I feel that it's a reflection of our own, you know, it's a microcosm of our reality. The game is already being launched. We're just calling it a game so that people can orient around what if you were to play the game of life as if it actually were a game. If you actually were to be completing missions and creating, you know, and in being in service to something greater than yourself, which ultimately is that realization of who you are as a being. So that's kind of that's the answer. It is launched, but it will formally launch in 2025. We are in the testing process now with our community of players. You can sign up to be a playtester, and we have a really active community on Discord who are kind of exploring these conversations, like individuals who are saying, you know, listen, I feel like the world has reached a new precipice of unrest. And now is the time for me to understand, well, what's my role, you know, and what is my legacy and where am I going on this planet? And I'd like to do that in a fun way. A lot of people, we were talking internally, but a company released a report about the state of wellness, or state of a state of being well. And what was said was that the pressure today to feel like you have arrived, or the pressure today to feel like you're doing the work, or the pressure today to feel like you've ascended in some way, is so high following COVID because people really had that internal look at themselves. And they were like, oh my gosh, if I had to be cooped up with myself, I would go crazy. And so all of these Instagram therapists have popped up, and they're amazing, right? But they've brought about an awareness of like, whoa, maybe there's some things that I need to look at about myself. And I think that that has created the foundation for a feeling of pressure to evolve, a feeling of pressure to ascend. And we're trying to basically pop the top off of that pressure and say, listen, let's just play. Okay. Let's dance together. You know, when you think about like a Ram Dass, like the dance of life.
Right.
And that's where we're moving with this, is that, can we just enjoy it? Can we enjoy the process a little bit, versus feeling like it's a to-do list?
Oh, really well said, and glad you're tackling this, because it is so true. I mean, that is the game. The game of life is self-knowledge. What did Jung say? The privilege of a lifetime is to know who you are. That's it. And when you know who you are, you'll know what your role is in things, you know, like Frodo and Gandalf talking about the time and this and that. You'll know what your role is. Your ego may not like it, but the universe will heal, if you know what I mean. It's the old saying, what's the meaning of life? Find your gift. What's the purpose of life? To give it away. And we all have a role. Nobody is better or worse. We all have our role in this universe, if you know what I mean. So very glad you're doing this, because yes, sometimes I will be talking to people. I like to meditate, and they're like, well, I can't sit there and breathe. I'm like, wait, you can't sit there with you. You are with you. It's very logical that you should be fine with you, right? There's a disconnect, because you should be fine sitting with you. Or, oh, I can sit there in nature outside. I'm like, are you crazy? That's my favorite thing to do. So you're not comfortable with the universe. You're this mystic and occultist, but you can't just sit there and stare at the tree line. So I think we've lost that, and it's so important we get it back. Don't you agree?
For sure.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just thinking about the concept of meditation and being out in nature, which for me, there are many ways to meditate.
Yeah,
and,
of course. Yeah.
I think this concept of, it's amazing to be out there looking at the tree, but I think in the reality that we live in, is just like, what are the ways, what are the many ways that I can be meditating? What are the many ways that I can be looking within myself, paying attention to how I'm breathing, and also what I'm looking and how I'm behaving?
Mm-hmm. No, very well said. Yeah, that's the other thing. There's a million ways to meditate. There's a million ways that'll work for you, for your persona and ego, and try them all out. And again, the idea is self-knowledge. And so the role of the game at the end, I mean, as we're talking, for me, with ayahuasca, it's easy, right? The plant tells me what I need to learn. If I let go, it will tell me, this is your mission. This is who you are. This is what you need to take care of. And I'm like, oh, that was nice. You know, for a 4-hour ride, now I know. It's in charge, the spirit, the lady of the jungle. What's the point? What happens on the other side of Lazoo? Same thing, or?
Well, I think like what you just said, which is, you know, this idea of, you know, knowing yourself is the gift of reality. And part of what, you know, part of what is on the other side of the soham of like, well, I am that. Once you actually accept who you are and the specialness that you bring into the world around you, that you don't need to assimilate, that there isn't this some sort of like, you know, there isn't some sort of matrix that you need to plug into in order to survive here. It's more that you are inherently bringing something beautiful forward. In fact, you may be serving as a path for someone else, meaning you are a blueprint. Your existence is a blueprint for someone else to understand if they did that, then maybe I can do that too. And I think across all lineages, we have an entity who is serving as an example. And the question is, well, when are you going to start seeing yourself as an example, not only for yourself, but also for other beings? And so the next phase of the game, or the next phase of the game of life, is not to say, I am that only, but also, and I am also that, and I am also that, and I am also that. Meaning that, that process of individuation that Jung talks about a lot, that experience of integrating the various parts of yourself, it is not only the parts that you want to, you know, show the world, but it's also the parts of yourself that you might be hiding from or dismissing. And in elements, embracing those dark sides of yourself, if you will, can help for any other person to see, well, they overcame that, or they worked with that, or they integrated that, and they didn't hate that part of themselves. And instead they said, this is what uniquely makes me have the perspective that I have, the worldview that I have, the seeing that I have, has stemmed from all of this that is who I am. And I think that's the next phase, right? Is to say, not only do I accept myself, but also I accept that there are parts of me continuously reflected back to me in the landscape around me. And that brings us to the ultimate of the idea, in Indian lineage, the idea of Indra's net, the idea that there is, an infinite net across space and time, that at every vertex, there is a diamond that reflects every other vertex infinitely. And that the only way that Haisa and I even understand ourselves is by having that mutual reflection of, oh, that's more Haisa, this is more me, this is this, this is that. And that back and forth dialogue that can happen, once you actually start to see yourself.
Indeed, very well said. Yeah, I love the metaphor, the myth of Indra's net. For those of you out there, Alan Watts has an amazing one. And just go on the internet, there's many with music, and it's really beautiful. And speaking of AI, I think, I don't know if I was on TikTok or somewhere, but suddenly it was Alan Watts talking, and I'm like, oh, he's so inspiring. And he talked about, don't let people gaslight you. And I said, wait a second, is this AI? Was the term gaslight, did it exist in the 50s?
I don't think it did.
No, there's a movie, a very old movie.
Did people use it in the vernacular?
No, it wasn't commonly used, but that's where the term came from. I'm trying to think of, beautiful woman star, Scandinavian, I can't
Greta
remember.
Garbo?
No. It's more recent than her. Let's see, gaslighting.
Yeah, because it's based in a movie, but the term has only become popular.
It's called Gaslight. It said that it's from the 1938 British Gaslight, which is pretty wild. So I guess it was him.
But I guess he was the only person using it at the time. And now everybody's kind of using and abusing the term. Oh, Ingrid Bergman.
That's it.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Very memorable. That's where the term came from. Literally, because the villain kept on, he was doing something in the attic or whatever, and the gas lighting would go down.
He's going to drive her crazy.
Right, and he told her that the gas wasn't going up and down. You're imagining that.
But, questioning reality, and I think figuring out, well, when someone invites you to take a look at your own view, I think that when you were asking about, or even just talking about this idea of like meditation and someone not being able to sit with themselves, I think that there's kind of these stages of discovery, and Hais and I have talked about this specifically as it relates to our motherhood journey, but The idea that, you know, there's an academic knowing of something you've been taught what's going to happen. And then there's a direct perception of that experience. And so it's like, you think when you're going to meditate or when you're sitting down, it's going to go a certain kind of way. And then you actually experience it and you're like, what is going on? Like there is chaos amidst me. And the idea that I'm meant to, like, you know, be able to direct my attention somewhere amidst this is very difficult. And, but you may, and I think that's the third part of this, is that in, not necessarily sequential, but the idea that I want to develop the wish within myself to experience it with a direct perception of something. And in the, like, certainly in the motherhood journey, in the birth journey, it's like, no one can prepare you academically for what you are about to directly perceive. Yeah. And I believe that those moments happen when people talk about, like, an ego death, or when they talk about, you know, having a divine experience, or having a vision of something. It's like, this is not something that anyone can prepare you for. This is an event horizon, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, see, yeah, motherhood, God, I remember my wife. Can I have the epidural? Sorry, honey, it's too late for that. No.
Yes. We had, go ahead. Sorry, Vance.
Oh, no. Please go ahead.
Yeah, we, I mean, I think with the birth journey holistically is, you know, it's certainly an experience of having one identity and then confronting this event horizon, a moment of direct perception where there's no turning back. You can never unsee what you experience in that moment. Right. And then what's on the other side of it is what you have to then decide if you are going to accept, you know? And I think we were just talking about this the other day. I feel like you want to share with that. I feel like, yeah.
Please do.
I think what is interesting also is the fact that no matter how much of research you're doing into the birth journey, no matter how, if you're reading through, like, all these articles and all, like, for 9 months, your experience is not going to look nothing like like what you thought. So, yes. It's definitely the death of ego. That was for me.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Again, Jung said the defeat of the ego is the encounter with the higher self. We don't want to lose our egos, I guess briefly, but we want our ego to get with the program so that something bigger will come out. And these are the events, you know, motherhood, ayahuasca, so many initiatory events, if you would. So.
Certainly an initiation. I mean, even the concept of the archetypal pattern, right? Like we talk a lot about the idea that, like, you know, you move from maidenhood where it's a different role you're playing in society into motherhood. And what does that mean? And so Lizu is the first game title from our gaming company, which is called Mother. And part of why we called it Mother, our government name, if you will, is Matru. And Matru is basically the root of the same term that is the, you know, to materialize or matrix. It is the center, the womb space, if you will, where newness comes to, you know, to create something, to materialize it, to bring about matter. And so we're hoping in this process that, you know, some of the lessons that we've learned through the process of, you know, confronting the archetype that we thought we were, and then becoming something new, and deciding if we're going to harden that newness and then embrace it as being like, okay, I am now that. And also, how is this to be in service to those around me and to myself, so that, you know, that there is an expansion, that there is a connection beyond the individual. And I think the individuation process in the Jungian philosophy is not the end state per se. It's that the individuation process is actually the beginning of where we really are playing. And so even that process is a ceremony in itself. You know, it is a ceremony in itself. The ceremony of life, holistically.
There you go. Yeah, really well said. And Jung never said there's any stopping for individuation, because there isn't. And this in the next lifetime, even when Buddha said, he never said there is no true self. I think it's the self, true self is unknowable. And I'm like, well, of course it's unknowable. You have to experience it. Even Jung said, you don't decipher the symbols, you experience the symbols. They reveal something. They don't represent something. So that sort of subtle changing of our mind, I think, really helps us. And again, helps us with a new language. I think our language is kind of stuck, and so many things are stuck. So we need to expand, as I say. So, and I'm glad you guys are doing this. Vance, I saw a couple of super chats, if you want to get to them.
Yeah. Well, Francis of Sophia Klatt didn't have a question, but he was appreciating what the conversation was about.
No, well, thank you, Francis.
Thank you, Francis.
Let's see. We got right. Dr. Will Peer wants to know.
You. Yeah, he spoke at our Astronosis conference and blew everybody away. He does work on this type of stuff, AI and so forth.
Yeah, he wanted to know what ancient text you fed into your LLMs.
So certainly you would have various sutras. So some of the sutras as well as commentaries on the sutras. But there are that includes the Yoga Sutras, but also if you kind of look further into some of the discussions around if you're familiar with Jason Kapa, who was one of the bridges between the Indian and the Tibetan ultimate Mahayana lineage and then Vajrayana lineage, that is certainly embedded, but they are, you know, these are universal. There's some aspect of universal principle that is available. So a lot of the text that is embedded into the LLM is, let's call it, there is the source material, but then we've also included all of the material that has come since the source material that is a referential back to that. So for example, you know, you may have Ram Dass and his interpretation of a person, you know, an aspect of things. Or for example, when you think about Rumi, Rumi is certainly interpreting these very specific texts and framing them from a poetic lens of how can we see this in a new way. So the list is continuously growing. I will say that is that there is no end to what will be taught to the language models. And I think that if you read our manifesto on Mother Games, part of what we believe is that what you put into the algorithm will come out of the algorithm. The algorithm just being, you know, a set of instruction. And so we have to take responsibility for what we are putting into the system and what we are putting our mind on. You know, if it's all well and good if if we are putting our mind on something that is actually bringing us to a sense of freedom within yourself. But I think today and what we're seeing across, you know, everything that's going on in our world is we can either focus. It's not that we're dismissing what's happening in the world. No. But instead we're saying this is happening because it's a mere reflection back to us of all of the inner conflict that we experience within ourselves. We've been putting this into the algorithm of life we've been putting violence and duality from a not me, that's them perspective. Mm-hmm. Right. We've been putting that into the experience of our reality. And I think that one of the beautiful things of AI, it's not only about, you know, what we're putting into our algorithm or into our large language model, but it's also the idea that what are you as a person allowing to prevail in the models that are continuously being created in society, whether they're large language models or, you know, the way of living your own life.
You must have an AI server that the game taps into, right? Because you can't run an LLM on a phone.
Yeah, well, you can, you know, it's kind of crazy. You can do some edge computing where you have a model running on a distributed network. But we, you know, not to get too techie, but we do have a cloud infrastructure that runs the model that you interact with. But you can have... We're very close to having, you know, edge computing with the ability to have models available, you know, in a distributed fashion. But that is, it's coming, coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The greater reality beyond the game. The game can expand out into the whole net.
Yeah, the grid is alive, as Tron said.
Yeah, the grid is alive. The grid is alive. We are all just a diamond vertex at the center of an infinite net, right? As an aside, something that Haisa and I have spoken about as well is just the feeling of, what if there is a larger vision at play here? And what if we are showing ourselves these various patterns as a way to understand our true nature? The idea that, like, you know, text messages or synchronicities, the feeling of, oh, I've thought of someone. And then, you know, 2 seconds later, I receive a text message from them.
Right.
And it's like, well, did we do this so that we could reflect back to ourselves? Hey, you have the ability to telepathically communicate with other, you know, super intellectual beings. And so we maybe forgot that. We maybe forgot that inner knowledge or that inner conversational layer. And instead, we need to serve it back to ourselves by saying, here's an affirmation that I heard you, you know, here's a text to say, like, oh, hey, how's it going? And you're like, whoa, I was just thinking of them, you know? And it's like, well, you already were in communication with them. Now we're just sharing that communication layer. And the same is true with AI. It's like, well, if we use that, yes, exactly. Reality is math in action. It's exactly that. It's exactly that. And we're just breaking down the barriers, you know, using technology to show ourselves what we actually were equipped with when we were shipped to this planet or when we chose to come here, for example.
Well said. And yeah, I should say, Dr. Will, thank you very much. I hope the storm missed you because I know you're in Florida. And yeah, all week I've been talking to people from that area because, you know, Asheville is the hippie psychedelic center and I have friends and colleagues and whatever they're telling you, it's far worse. Because when I talk to them on the ground, it's bad. It's like,
yeah,
it is.
My sister's stranded still. She's
really?
Stranded.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
She's right near Asheville, up in the mountains
bad.
There.
Yeah, it's really bad. But anyway, so any help you can give, I hope to have a guest who I know there, and she's going to try to come on and explain, and we can maybe raise some money because it's bad. But we will get through. I think I saw another super chat before.
Yes, there is. There you go. This is a good question, too.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Stellar Noma. Bon dia, bo tarde. Do you have any thoughts on when artificial general intelligence is achieved in regards to your company and mission?
I think, I think a lot of people are fearful of this like holistic AGI concept. And I don't have an answer to when that is achieved as it relates to our company and mission, because I don't think that there's a final end state. But that isn't to say that that we're on a path with no end. It's more that the end, I mean, I guess we're kind of going back to the religion of no religions. but it's an end that is no end. And so, you know, being adaptive and understanding, how are we incorporating and how are we interacting with the notion of AGI? How are we, what are we actually doing to, you know, in a landscape where AGI is one of the players? And so same thing with, you know, with just AI in general, the idea that this is a newcomer on the playing field, and deciding how you're going to work with that and experience that is a daily question. Just as if, you know, how you're deciding how you're working with your own mind is a daily question. I think staying in sort of a stagnated state is a very different thing than staying in a state of shamatha. Like shamatha on, well, what are we actually creating is a different thing than saying I am like rigidly holding on to what I want to create. And I think that, I guess I'll answer the question by saying, continuously putting the mind on what are we generating? What are we habituating? What are we facilitating in society is an open dialogue that cannot just be achieved at some ultimate state of AGI. It's something that we have to have an open and continuous ongoing inquiry where we're continuously checking our minds and checking the computer mind, if you will, the computer, the algorithm itself. We have to continuously interrogate that in a way with the same gentleness that we are interrogating our own selves. We're not trying to bastardize it or not trying to villainize anything, but instead integrating into a reality where this is coming, this is happening. Whether we want to embrace it or not, let's not get it to the point where we're villainizing and making an enemy of something that, you know, is only going to end up being a dark archetype, if you will. We don't need it to be. We can create it to be an archetype that is one that we want to build up. And I think that that's the question is, or the invitation. How are you going to participate in a reality where AGI is available to us? And are you going to show up, or are you going to cower into a place of feeling like I am not that? So I know that doesn't really answer the question, but I hope that it gives a sense of how we think about it.
No, well said. And yes, and if we don't do it, the Chinese will. So it doesn't matter. Somebody's going to do it because Prometheus and the fire of the gods, it's out. It is out. Well, as we get to the end, anything else you want to say, Kelsey or Chaisa? Anything? Or where do you want to send people? I've got your links on the show notes, but what else do we need to know?
You can go to lazoo.mothergames.com. And if you want to find out what your archetype is, you can take the house quiz. The five archetypes within our game all map to the five houses. And we would love to hear from you. Haiz and I are both very active on our Discord, and it's a place where you can talk with other people who have also identified their personal archetype, and other individuals who are interested in, you know, discovering more about themselves as they play the game of life. So
that's exactly how I was going to close out with the game. So.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, yeah, again, it's on the show notes. I am definitely going to get Lazoo and check it out and check out my archetypes. I'll show the kids I can play games too.
There you go.
The archetype, I'll have them look at
it. Is a great entry point. The house quiz is your point to understand how to get moving. So I welcome everybody to come through there and share their experience. with the house.
Awesome, queen. Awesome. It looks like Christina is already way ahead of you guys.
Look at that. There we go. I love it. Thank you, Christina. I'm a house of infinity. So I like that fire energy and definitely pushing the boundary, if you will.
We'll definitely check it out. Awesome. Well, first of all, Vance, thanks for keeping us company in this simulation.
Sure. Well, I'm back to the other simulation within the simulation within the simulation. And I'll leave you with a thought. You know, I don't know who's seen the movie Fantastic Voyage, where this guy was sick and they shrunk down a little ship and injected the ship with the crew into the person. Well, imagine that crew being inside this person, right? Imagine that they had many generations and they forgot that they were injected into the man. And then one day they discovered by exploring this man that they were the man, that were injected inside themselves. Maybe that's what the ultimate God did to itself. Injected itself.
You're right, Vance. You're right. It's a Matryoshka doll experience of realizing we were always within this, and we are always also the decision maker as well. So
there you go.
Well, awesome. Yes. Well, Kelsey and Chaisa, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we appreciate it. And yes, certainly good luck with everything.
Yeah, good luck with the game.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Wish us luck. Building a game is a double black diamond. That's it.
yeah, it'll work out. It's going to work out. And yes, please get their game, support this show. Let's push, support your psychonauts, as we call them, because the inner journey is more important than ever. There are solutions. There are ways you can find yourself. And once you do, you're going to find your purpose. And yeah, as Julia Norwich said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manners of things shall be well. And don't forget Gandalf. It's going to be great. So, but we are at the end. And again, don't forget tomorrow night, we got Paul Weald on the occult, Jim Morrison. Speaking of psychedelic and occult, it's going to be great. Other than that, enjoy the rest of your Friday and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Miguel. Bye.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.